We've made our way down to the third feast. And so if you could turn to Leviticus 23, we find our text for today, Leviticus 23, and it's that paragraph that begins with verse 9. Leviticus 23 and verse 9, and if you're physically able, you know, we stand to honor the Word of God while it's read. So if you'd either turn there or if you prefer to read it from the screen, you can. But it reads like this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give to you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord." Verse 13. "And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah, of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, a quarter of a hin." And finally, verse 14. "And you shall eat neither bread nor grain parched or fresh until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Amen. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness that we see down through the generations of humanity. And with Jeremiah, Lord, today we can stand and say, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We bless you today. We praise you today. We honor you today. We bow down before you today. We worship you in spirit and truth today. And we say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new day now." And so here we are today to worship you. Would you meet us here as we humble ourselves before you? This word of God lies open before our eyes as our hearts lie open before your eyes. Come now, Holy Spirit, guide us into truth. In Jesus' great name we pray. Every saint of God said, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. So we're moving on with the next feast. By way of introduction, you might remember that these feasts, particularly biblical feasts, do two things, which is always God's design when he brings something to us. God is glorified, and what? God's people are edified. This is the beauty in the kingdom of God. And so these feasts do that. We also remember, these are all fundamental truths now, that when we look at these feasts, we understand that they find their fulfillment in Christ, right? That's the reason we don't get bogged down in the minutiae. We look at them, we understand them, but we understand they're doing what? They're pointing forward. That you and I are actually looking backwards at the time when Christ has already come, but these feasts are what? Pointing forward. And so we thank God. We thank God that we understand the truth of this matter. We looked at the first feast, and it was a weekly feast. You remember that? It was 7 days. It was a seventh day feast called the Sabbath. We saw that in verses 1, 2, and 3 of Leviticus 23. The second feast was an annual feast, right? In verses 4 and 5. It was called the Lord's Passover, yeah? The Lord's Passover, and it required a sacrificial lamb be killed. And you remember that from last time. That lamb had to die and so that those whose blood it was covering could live, yeah? And then we understand. For you and I, Christ is our, what? Passover lamb, right? Christ is our Passover lamb, which obviously, since all of these, what? All of these feasts point toward him, we understand that. Then we looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that required that bread without yeast be eaten for 7 days. That's in verses 6, 7, and 8. And then the meaning of that feast essentially is that God's people would worship God, what? With a holy lifestyle. Yes? The lack of yeast, which is in the scriptures, correlates to sin. So the lack of yeast would be the what? The lack of sin. And so God would call upon us to worship him as a holy people. God says what? You be holy. Why? Because I am holy. Yeah? And so we see these are marvelous things, marvelous things. And they are so wonderful when we allow the scriptures to speak and we not bring our own ideas and interpretations and force our ideas upon the scriptures. And so that's the territory that we've covered thus far. And so today, as we take a look at this next feast, we'll just divide our thinking into these two big areas. We'll look at the origin. This will be the Feast of First Fruits, okay, from Leviticus 23:9 through 14. So we'll look at the origin of the feast and the significance of it and try to bring it home where we can apply it to our lives today, all right? The origin, where it came from, and then find out what it means to us. God has preserved these truths so that you and I can what? Learn from them. Learn from them. Not try to emulate them. Why? Because they point forward to Christ. Get it? Since they point forward to Christ, we're not trying to emulate these feasts. You get it? Because Christ is the substance of them. So, let's go. You all ready? Let's go. So, if you go back to our text here in Leviticus 23, and we look at the divine origin, we'll find in verses 9 and 10 that it was the Lord, Yahweh, if you will, in the Hebrew. It's the Lord who instituted the Feast of First Fruits with his divine authority. And so it wasn't the Jews that... So the commentators are so... They can get so bizarre at times. They weren't looking out at other cultures and trying to emulate, you see, what other people were doing. This came what? From God. This feast came from God. You see that in verse 9? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, you see, it was God who gave this instruction. Moses didn't come up with it. No other leader in Israel came up with it. This was from God, so you and I understand why it has divine authority. Now, if anybody was going to understand God's message, it should have been God's people, yes? God's people should understand the message that God was given, and they should what? Obey it. They should understand and they should obey because they have experienced the mighty hand of God and what he's done for them, right? So this is important for us to see and to know that it's God who's speaking and God who has said these things to his people. It was his people who had the personal involvement of God in their lives. And so you and I can relate to that. We don't come here today because our parents or our grandparents told us about them being saved. Now, thank God if you had a Christian parents or grandparents or other relatives. But you want to, the only value to you is if you what? Experience it what? For yourself. Yes? You'll never go to heaven on their testimony. And all of us need to understand that. It's a wonderful thing to hear testimonies, but you will never be reconciled to God based on someone else's testimony, regardless of how wonderful it is. You need to have what? Your own. You need to have a what? Right relationship with God. So that when the scriptures speak, they speak to you. And when you read verses like Psalm 23, like we sang earlier, and when you read, the Lord is what? My shepherd. It's not, now you're not just talking about David's testimony. The Lord is now what? My shepherd. He leads who? Not just David. He leads what? Me. He provides not just for David, but he what? He provides for me. So, personal experience. Personal experience. And so if anybody understands when God speaks, it ought to be his people. And I want to remind you, God is still speaking today. Now, I'm not saying there's no new revelation. You understand that? We're not getting new scripture, new revelation. But I'm saying what? He's still speaking, and God's people understand that. Yes. And we understand that when God speaks, it's for me to do what? Obey. Amen. Obey. That's the only reason we want to be what? Led by the Spirit. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, which the Bible calls upon us to do, you have to believe God still speaks. And he knows how to speak, what? To you. I'm not talking about how he speaks to Willie. He knows how to speak to you. You get it. Okay, so that's the divine origin. And so if you continue looking there, in verse 10, you see there was divine instruction given here. You go back to verse 10. It says, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of the harvest to the priest. You get it? See that in verse 10? Now, the feast, go on down to verse 11. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. And so what you find here is that this feast was to be celebrated the first Sunday in the week of unleavened bread. This is important. You get it. Every Christian in here that's thinking gets it. This is the first Sunday in the week of unleavened bread. You get it? You see it? On the day after the Sabbath. What's the day after the Sabbath? After the seventh day. The seventh day is what? Saturday. What's the day after Saturday? Sunday. On the day after. The feast was to be celebrated the first Sunday in the week of unleavened bread. Barley was the first crop harvested in the spring. Get it? Barley was the first crop harvested in the spring. It was a source of food for people and for animals. You get it? And so he says, you shall bring a sheaf to the Lord so that you may be accepted. You may be accepted. Now, a sheaf. Just need to explain that real quick before we go on. We call it a heap. So, you know, don't get all technical. It's just a heap, a lot. You just bring a heap of this barley grain. And it was to be brought to the priest along with a sacrificial lamb as a meal offering to the Lord. You got verse 11? You shall bring, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish and a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a fine offering to the Lord. With a pleasing aroma, and the drink offering it shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And then verse 14, and you shall eat neither bread nor grain parched or fresh until this day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generation at all your dwellings. And so that's the instruction. That's the instruction. A heap was to be brought to the priest and a sacrificial animal. This was a sacrificial act of worship, you see. You're sacrificing from your grain and your livestock. And this was basically the wealth in this culture. These were the things that were valuable. You get it? In this culture. So don't look at it and think that that's no big deal. It is a big deal. These were the things that were valuable. Yeah. Believers, and if you just think about what we have here, believers must worship and thank God for his past provision and protection. Thank him for what he's done for us in the past, to provide for us in the past, and for his protection. You see, that's the whole idea here, is that you, they've already celebrated the Passover, right? When he's delivered them. They've already celebrated unleavened bread, which is a reminder of the holiness and of the lifestyle and those kind of things. And now that you've been set free, you see, you're looking back and you thank God for what? How he's provided. How he's protected. And so this is wonderful. We're never to forget. And you never forget the day he delivered you. Never forget that. Talk about it often. Rehearse it often in your minds. Don't let it grow old. Your deliverance is not like somebody else's. People, don't try to compare the way God saved you. It doesn't matter how he saved you. The fact is what? You're saved. You may not know the day. That's not the issue. Are you saved? Get it? Just don't let it grow stale. And ever since I've been saved, he's been what? Providing and protecting. You get it. And so there we are. That's the origin of this feast. And so let's think about the significance of this issue. For Old Testament saints, remember that the first fruits was a foretaste, if you will, or the first of a much larger crop, right? The first fruits means that this is the first and the best, but there's what? More to come. Yes. It's called first fruits because it is the first. But there's a whole lot more to come. You get it? And so this was a reminder to those Old Testament saints of the promised land of Canaan. Go back to verse 10. When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. You see that? When you come what? Into the land. So don't forget when you come into the land. How you got there? Don't forget when you're blessed. Where your blessings come from. Don't forget when you get that job that you been waiting on. You see where it came from. Don't forget when you finally get the residence, whatever it may be. It may not be a house. House may not be what you want. It may be a condo or an apartment. Whatever. Just don't forget where it came from. Yeah? Or whatever the blessing may be. Just when God brings you into it, don't forget it. Yeah? And so when you come, when you come, just remember how you got there. And so this was a reminder of God's past deliverance from slavery, his past provision. For God is what? The Lord of the harvest. Yeah. He's the Lord of the harvest. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord what? Provides. Yeah, he's a provider. And it was a reminder of his faithfulness in the future. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you have it. That's the significance to the Old Testament saying. What about you and I? And I think some of y'all are kind of getting this already as we're moving along. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Y'all ready? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. For us, the first fruits represents a few things. Can you find James 1 and verse 18? James 1 and verse 18, it says, of his own will he brought you forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of what? First fruits of its creatures. You ever read it? I know you read it, but you ever thought, you know, hopefully when you read it, you'll think about it in a different light. You see how it reads? By his own will, what did he do? He brought you what? He brought you forth. He brought you out. How? By his mighty word. What? That we should be a kind of what? First fruits. Got that? That's number one. So first fruits represents Christian converts. The next thing, and you may not have seen this one, but believe it or not, the first fruits can also represent the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have what? The first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit in us is what? He's there to remind us there's more to come. You see? Yeah. There's more. There's so much more of God than you and I can, more than what eye has seen, nor what ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man. It's going to take all of eternity for us to enjoy and grow in all that God is. You know, we sing a song about what God is down here. God is a joy, and I don't even know the words, but y'all know that song, God is. That's what he is down here. Just imagine what we're going to sing once we get up there and we can really see what God is. We'll be singing that song forever. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God's going to give us a what? A new song. A new song. I'm waiting to see what that new song is going to be. Don't you? I want to know. I ain't getting anxious, but I certainly want to know what that new song is. And so, the Holy Spirit. And then, lastly, which is the one that most of you may be familiar with, is that the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, I believe it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, 20. It says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You got it? Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, don't forget the principle. The first fruits always implies that there's what? More to come. Yeah? More to come. More, thank God, more believers. There's more of the Holy Spirit. And there's more of us to be resurrected. Christ was the first, but thank God he's not the last. Yeah, he's the first, but there's so many more to come. Y'all getting it? Getting excited about this? Yeah. This was to be celebrated when? The first Sunday! After what? The Passover. Yeah, of course, yeah. Unleavened bread is exactly right. In this case, Passover and unleavened bread are connected. But it's the first Sunday. You get it? After that. And Christ was raised when? On the first Sunday. Yeah. Yeah? First Sunday after what? his crucifixion.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah? The Passover. It's so good. Y'all, the Word of God is so wonderful. The Word of God is so wonderful. I want to read something for you all. And I was trying not to. I don't even know when I started. I said I wasn't going to be too long, but I get carried away sometime. Matthew 28, verse 1. Matthew 28 and verse 1. Listen to this. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, what day is that?
Sunday.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to them, "Do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But what? He's not here. Why? He is risen. He is risen. I know you came looking for him, but he's not dead. It's the first Sunday. He's not here. Yeah, he was dead those other 2 days, but he's not here. Because this is what? The first Sunday. He has risen. What did it say? As he said. Get it? Come see the place where he lay. Oh, this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. On the first Sunday. On the first Sunday. This was celebrated this way for you and I to remember Christ. Now I want to say something to you, and then we're going to tie it all together. The first three feasts are in what? The same week. Right? Passover, unleavened bread, and what? First fruits. They're all in the same week. And when you put them together, for us in the New Testament, they help remind us of what? Christ's death, his what? Burial, and what? His resurrection. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not here. He's not here. Now, they didn't understand all of this in the Old Testament. But thank God that he helps us to, when we come together and we read about these Old Testament events, he helps us celebrate them in light of the what? New covenant. The New Testament. Yeah? In light of the New Testament. And so believers must worship and thank God for the great resurrection yet to come. There's a great resurrection coming. Y'all. Talk like we used to talk in the South. Y'all. There's a great resurrection coming. Mm-hmm. And so when we worship God, you can't let your problems dominate the worship service. It won't be this way. Yeah, I know we sing a song, it won't be this way always. And actually, you and I know it won't be this way long. And it really, the issue is not whether Christ is coming for everybody. For most of us at our age, he's coming for you and me. Yeah? And so you can't get wrapped up in your problems. Because it won't be this way long. You little Hawking song, soon? Soon and what? Very soon. I'm going. Yeah, it's personal. I'm going to see the King. Okay. Yeah. So. Brothers and sisters, here we can see that the first fruits was simply a foretaste of much more that was to come. Yeah? It was a reminder of the mighty deliverance, the mighty provision, the mighty protection and faithfulness of God in the past, and a reminder that God is a source of all our provision. All of it. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes what? Comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's what? No variation or shifting a shadow. We don't have to guess about where our blessings come from. You don't have to guess. Yeah. Some people say you were lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. No such thing as luck to the Christian. I was blessed. Blessed. Blessed in the morning. Blessed in the evening. Blessed when I go out. Blessed when I come in. Who's doing the blessing? God is. God is. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of what He's done for us in the past. And that there's more. There's more to come. Every believer in Christ before us was what? First fruits. And a foretaste of more believers to come later. Amen. Everyone that's gone on before us is just a reminder that there's more to come. That's the reason First Thessalonians says, don't grieve as though you have no hope. Let this be a reminder that there's more. Yeah? So when you think about all of those that have gone on, you know, Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them, you know, Rebecca and all of them, and works its way on down into our generation, all those that have gone on before us. It's just a reminder that there's more to come. Yeah? There's more to come. There's more to come. Otherwise, God would have shut it. He would have shut this thing down. That's the only reason we're here. There's what? More to come. The scoffers are scoffing because Jesus hasn't come. They don't understand. I said it wasn't going to be long, but I just got to kind of talk to you today, all right? One of the old reformers said that people outside of Christ don't realize that they're living their lives as if they're walking across hell on rotten boards. Now you think about that. Walking across in life, walking across hell on what? Rotten boards, which means what? Every step is what? A dangerous one. You don't know when the next step might be what? Your last one. And so, this joy in our lives, because our life is not built on a rotten board. My hope is built on what? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. He is what? The solid rock. And I stand on Him. And even if I fall, what am I falling on? a firm foundation. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
Just a reminder. It's to be a reminder. A reminder when things get hard. He did it before. He can what? He can do it again. Just a reminder. There is still a major harvest to come. Jesus said, look, look, look around you. The harvest is what? Plentiful. But what? The labor's a few. And the harvest is still what? Plentiful. That's the reason God hasn't shut this thing down. There's more what, to come. Don't get discouraged. They may not be coming here. That's not the issue. You shouldn't be concerned about why God planted this church here. That's not your issue. Just do what he called you to do. Yeah? If he never adds another member here, that's not your issue. Just go out into what? Into the harvest. And do what he's called you to do. We're not trying to build our church. Jesus said, I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell won't prevail. You believe it? Yeah. I'm just thankful that our little flock knows that we're standing on solid ground. We're not concerned about caving in here. That's the reason I tell anybody that comes here, you need to be sure that God has called you here. Because it doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. But when you know where God, you are where God has called you to be, you can do as we're told to do. In Ephesians 6, I believe it is. When you've done all that you can do to what? Stand firm. Stand on. Y'all good? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the first fruit. To give us a foretaste of full redemption yet to come in after this life. This full redemption yet to come. And the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal. He seals our life, seals our heart, and reminds us every day there's more to come, Willie. There's more to come. And the most assuredly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was the first fruit and a foretaste of myriads of believers yet to be resurrected on the last day. I know y'all have read this. And rather than me just quoting it, I'm just going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 and 23. Listen to this. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. There is more to come. At the last trumpet, the trumpet's going to sound, the Bible says, and the dead in Christ will what? Will be raised. The harvest at the resurrection is like any experience we've ever known. None of us have ever gone through anything like it. All the dead in Christ will be raised, given new eternal bodies, given a new name and a new song. Hallelujah. Worship is going to happen. Worship Him today because it's going to happen. Worship Him who is the first and the last and the living one. He died, and behold, He's alive for what? Evermore. And He has the keys to death and Hades. He lives. He rules. He reigns. He speaks. He saves. He delivers. He protects. He provides. He heals. He comforts. He guides. And so much more. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And worthy of our praise. Worthy of our obedience and worthy of our surrender. Oh. Worthy. He lives. And He rose. And you're going to rise too. The one who believes in Me, Jesus said, will never die. And if he dies, he will, yet shall he live. He'll live again. Isn't that wonderful? And whether you're here in this room or listening by Zoom, I want you to know, if you're not a Christian, it's not complicated as many have painted it and portrayed it. But it is a miracle. And so it's not simplistic. Becoming a Christian is not simplistic, but it is simple. Yeah. It's not simplistic, but it is simple. Jesus said, come to Me, all who weary and heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest. And so all that you need to do is believe on Him. You believe with your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. That He is your Lord and He's your Savior, and you shall be saved. And so, here we are, a few thousand years later, celebrating the beauty of first fruits, knowing that one day that will include us. The first fruits say to you and I that one day, just as Christ rose, we will rise. You hear me? We're going to rise. We will rise. We will rise. I want to thank You, Father. That You made this way for everyone who believes in You. Mm-hmm. One day we will be with You. You've not left us alone. And You, Lord Jesus, You are coming back. You promise, I go away to prepare a place for You. And if I go, I will come again to receive You to myself. And so we trust You. Until that day, help us to be faithful, to love, to serve, to obey You in every way. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. We ask You to take